Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com, and I'm excited about having a new friend on the show. His name is Jim Sapp. Jim is an Entrepreneur of the Year Award winner. He's a Blue Chip Enterprise Citation winner. He's a National Business Consultant. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's well-known as one of the nation's top small business experts. His new book is called Starting Your First Business, Gain Independence and Love Your Work. And as I said, he's our new friend. Jim Sapp, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. He's also, folks, the founder and the director of the American Small Business Institute, which is a nonprofit, isn't it, Jim?
Yes, it's a nonprofit dedicated to helping people find funding. Many startups are looking for funding for their new company, and they simply go to the corner bank that they've used for 15 years. And we try to show people that there's other alternatives, other financing companies, loan companies, banks, that may be interested and have a little different look at how they look at your new business.
Not necessarily instead of the bank, but just new options, right?
New options. Your bank may be great, but many banks, they just look at things differently. Some banks want real estate loans. Some banks want inventory loans. So I encourage startup companies to look around. And this organization has combined a lot of information and shows people where to go for leases, for maybe a loan that's outside their community,
right,
and it's a little more situated for a small business.
Jim, you're right there at the heartbeat of startups, and I know you've amassed a lot of information about what it takes to start a small business. And talk to us a little bit. Let's say that you had somebody's little brother or little sister who they called you up and they said, "Hey, Jim, this is my little brother, my little sister. They want to start a business, and I need you to cast your pearls of wisdom before this person." You met with them, and you look in their eyes, and they've got that faraway look in their eyes. You can tell that they've been smitten with the dream of owning their own business, but they haven't done anything except, you know, they just have this dream. Where would you start with them? You've got a raw pile of clay here, and you get to mold it into whatever you want. What do you think?
Well, I think there's two areas that I focus on early on, and that's your product or service that you're going to provide. Test it. I'll give you an example. I have a neighbor that loves photography, and he wants to follow his passion. So he starts taking pictures, digital pictures, at soccer games of his son and his son's friends.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows that he's probably not quite ready to go out full time. So he continues to work. I always tell people to continue their day job, but test their product or service.
Mm-hmm.
So before he jumps full force into starting his business, he starts taking pictures at soccer games digitally, showing them to parents on the sidelines and selling those pictures. Mm-hmm. So it's a form of testing your product or service.
You know, I know a lot of companies that are in business today. Some of them are incredibly successful. Some of them have gotten huge. That was almost an accident. The lady just had a hobby of doing something. You know, she just was sort of tinkering around with something, and all of a sudden her neighbor says, "I want one of those." And then the neighbor's friend says, "I want one of those." And all of a sudden, the person says, "Huh, I might be onto something here."
Exactly.
And it was almost accidental testing.
Yeah, and that's informal testing, but that's okay. As long as people are coming to you and talking about it and your phone starts to ring, or you take a couple of days off from work and go to a convention or an industry trade show and show your wares or product or software. But don't just quit your day job and think that your product or service is ready. Normally it needs to be tweaked a little or changed. What you think will sell, it may sell, and I hope it does. But normally you have to change it in some way, and those changes take time.
You know, Jim, one of the things that I've told people before is if you wouldn't, nobody would wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to perform brain surgery today," or I'm going to build a rocket and take it and fly it to Mars. Nobody would wake up and say that if they didn't have the skills and the education in the background to do any of those things. And
that's
so,
an excellent
point. What makes people think that they can wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be a business owner, and they go and do it? What makes people think that?
Well, I think they're maybe perhaps a little overly confident. They're usually very, very good at a certain skill or doing something, and they love that product or service. So they're probably a little overconfident. What I try to tell people is go on the Internet, go somewhere locally, and test their personality. Because like you say, a rocket scientist or a brain surgery, he just doesn't jump out of bed and do brain surgery. Mm-hmm. He goes through a lot of schooling. So what I tell people, and one of the errors I think we make, is we tend to have people around us and hire people that are exactly like us. But if you really go out and you can take a personality test on the Internet, and there's several that are very, very good for $50 or $100, and it describes your skills. You're creative. You like to go out and sell. But what you really need for your company then is to surround yourself with an accountant, with some operations people, whatever your company's doing. And I'm not saying these should be full-time people, but they may be advisors. They just may be a part-time accountant to keep your books and money in order.
Right. Well, the thing, I can remember being in my mid-20s and realizing that that there was something unique and special about being in business. Because prior to that, I thought everybody knew what everybody needed to know about business. I didn't, because you know what? I think it's the consumer trap that we get into, Jim. We think, well, because I know how to buy, sell things and sell things, that must mean I know how to be a business owner.
Well, I think you're right. But being a business owner, the biggest part of it, in my opinion, is you have to be able to make good decisions. Excuse me. And you have to be able to make those decisions well-informed. There's going to be hundreds of things coming at you. Where should you buy your inventory? Where should you market? Where should you advertise? Should you hire more staff? Where should you sell your product or service? So the ability to make a decision, and a good decision, is really important, and it has to be timely. The benefit of a small business is we can react to something that's happening in our local community. We can react to something nationally much faster than a big corporation.
Hold on to that thought, Jim. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our new friend, Jim Seth. His new book is called Starting Your First Business, 20 After. Stay with us. Said you were gonna put me on a shelf. We're back. It's 23 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me today. I'm glad Jim Sapp is here today because he brings us some good information. He's the author of Starting Your First Business. Jim, tell us where your book's available.
It's available in most bookstores, and we also have some specials on our website at www.sapp, that's SAPPBiz.com.
SAPBiz.com. All right, what are those specials?
We give away free worksheets, a worksheet on a business plan, worksheets on how to hire employees.
All right.
Just go to the site and you'll see different things that we're going to add to your book if you buy it.
All right.
And we also have CDs, the book's on CD now because we know a lot of people are traveling.
Right.
And they may be wanting to listen to it while they're traveling or on their way to their current position.
Congratulations. That's great. Jim, let's talk a little bit more about what it takes to be a small business owner. And, you know, a lot of times people become small business owners out of desperation. And in a way, that kind of happened to me. I was downsized in 89 for the second time in the 80s. And I said, you know, I don't think I need any help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself. And so I didn't start looking for a new job. I started my own business. And so in a way, you could say that it was desperation. But the difference was I'd spent 23 years as a good employee. I'd already been in the marketplace a long time. I'd already been to a couple of rodeos and at least one barbecue. And so I knew, I didn't know everything I needed to know, but I knew quite a bit.
Well, you had some good skills. But the facts are today, I just saw in the Wall Street last week that the lifespan of a job in America today is 3.5 years.
That's right, yeah.
Ten years ago, it was about 12.
Yeah, and 20 years ago, it was 35.
Yes, we started with one company and stayed there. So people realize they're going to be downsized, and that's very awkward. It's very hard to be laid off. You've done
but you know more,
wrong.
But you know, Jim, you can't put all that number, all of that statistic on the employer because a lot of people are moving on themselves after 3 or 4 years.
Yes, they are.
Because we no longer have the myth of job security. We no longer think of a job as something we're connected to by an umbilical cord.
It's very accepted out there that you have three jobs by the time you're out of school for 10 years.
Yep.
So employers are accepting it. So people do. We get restless. Whatever, your spouse gets transferred, and you do move on to a new position.
Well, what is the main thing? You were telling us earlier about some of the things that you need to be able to do. You know, obviously, you need to understand the fundamentals of operating a business. But what is something internally? What's the personal thing? You mentioned personality a minute ago. What is the main thing personally that you think a person needs to have to be successful as a small business owner?
The main thing, and we mentioned it earlier a little, was the ability to make a good decision. But I think another very important trait is the drive, the passion. Do something start your company something you really enjoy so that when your feet hit that floor in the morning, you're driven to get up. You have a passion to go in there, and maybe it's just in your basement office, a home office, or maybe it's, you know, you're sharing some office space down the street, but you have a passion to do that business, and it will succeed.
Right. What about courage? I believe that courage is maybe the most important thing, because even when your drive has been worn down, you still have to be able to go beyond that. And to me, that's courage. You know, courage to me is bravery, doing something brave after you had time to think about it.
Well, I would agree that the drive and courage almost are the same, but courage is something that when you fail, too. And there are going to be failures. You're going to think you're going to get a deal, and something happens, and you lose it. And having the courage to keep going, to find the funding, to change your product or scope, that does take a lot of courage from within.
Well, I want to dwell on this failure thing for a minute, because I really think that that's an important thing to talk about. And you know, there's a lot of literature called success literature. I think there ought to be some literature called failure literature. Not failure in the negative, not to make things negative, but to introduce the reality that the only true successes happen after you've had some failures.
Oh, there's countless stories about Edison, for example.
Yeah.
Why we have the light bulb and electricity. He failed numerous times at different ways.
I think he was the one who said, failure successfully identifying what doesn't work.
Exactly. Maybe you try something numerous times, whatever your product or service, or even in marketing. I see so many people marketing and advertising in a way, and it's not working. Mm-hmm. They need to learn that may not be the best place for them to spend their dollar and move on.
And that's where we come back to your passion issue, Jim, and that is that when you fail, if you don't have the passion for it, then you'll move on to do something else. You won't stick with what you started out working
right.
on.
And the passion and the courage keeps you going. You may need to change your company a little or your product or service, and that's fine. So you find that niche, find those people that really need your product or service, and your company will become successful.
Jim, give us your website one more time.
It's www.sapp.com. My last name is Sapp, SAPPBiz.com.
SAPPBiz.com. The book is called Starting Your First Business. Jim, will you come back another day and let's talk about small business financing?
I'd be pleased to. Thank you for having me on.
Jim Sapp, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, right after these messages. 29 after. This show was brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.